Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's HAYES. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Pierre LeBrun. I know you were referencing the details on this. I saw your email earlier this morning, Pierre. But it seems a little bit strange that the Leafs have the power to just change the time of the game and throw everything out of whack.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it would have needed the league's blessing for sure.
Yes.
They had to literally put in a request, but it is fascinating. It's why I decided to make a query about it this morning because it's swinging up. Just on a personal note, my son is at that game tonight with a friend of his and his friend's dad. A hockey dad took them to the game. I'm at a minor hockey rink with my two daughters, back-to-back games here. So I'm talking to you from a parking lot. But I wanted to know, too, because frankly, very selfishly, I was happy with 6 o'clock because my son could get home earlier. But, you know, you saw my note. It was a little more detailed on the internal TSN email than it was in my tweet to everyone else today. But basically it comes down to the Leafs a little nervous about their travel plans tonight, crossing the border for the first time since the pandemic started, which kind of blows your mind when you think about it. But and being told that they can't do what they normally do, which is that they can't cross U.S. Customs tonight in Toronto, that they would have to do it in Pittsburgh when they land. And I don't blame them. I mean, they figure that that's going to cause more delays, getting off the plane, taxing, all these different things. I won't bore our listeners, but they basically think it's going to be a pretty late night traveling, and so they figure that 1 hour will make a difference. But it certainly, you know, makes you wonder as this year goes by if we're going to see this again, or if it's just because it was the first time they were traveling south that the Leafs wanted to give themselves a bit of padding.
Pierre, who has to okay that? We were talking about it earlier because, for example, Dallas played last Saturday in Boston and played Sunday a 5 o'clock game in Ottawa. So they've had to cross the border. They're, you know, obviously it was probably their first little look at that type of stuff. But do the Leafs have to canvass the league, or they set the time? Like, do you have any insight on that?
You have to make an official request to the NHL. That's how it works, yeah. I mean, you can't just change a game time without the NHL signing off on it. So right. That's how it works. And because then the other team becomes involved and so on. You know, and I actually don't know this, which is kind of stupid. That's the one thing I don't know, and I work at TSN, is, of course, the game's on our network tonight, right? So I don't know how that would have worked in terms of the game being on our air, because that changes our schedule, right, as a network?
Yeah, no, for sure.
So that's the other part of all this. But we'll see if we get more of this as the year goes on. I mean, Chris Johnson, my pal, talked about this on Insider Trading last night, but or maybe Tuesday. I got them mixed up now, the two ITs this week, but the GM meetings, which is, it was yesterday, which is usually the day after the Hockey Hall of Fame induction, mid-November. That's the one that's really quick at the league head office, right?
Yeah.
They've decided to make it virtual yet again, despite the world opening up, because of travel. Because of how hard it seems to be right now to get out of YYZ and a few other Canadian airports with U.S. Customs and everything else, and Canadian Customs and the confusion. So the GMs aren't meeting. Despite the world opening up. So it's just a reminder that it's not business as usual yet, you know, when it comes to some of these things.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. So there was a murder online, courtesy of the Carolina Hurricanes last night. And it was ugly because the Habs are 0-5. They're off to a terrible start. Of course, Kotkaniemi scores last night in his return to the Bell Center. And then right after the game, Carolina posts a link to a website, did the Habs lose? ? And when you open it up, it says we, and then they're selling their own T-shirts. I personally love it because this is social media. This isn't business. This is about entertainment.
For sure.
But it is
I mean, it's bullying now when it comes to the Habs. Like, the Habs are getting crushed. They're in such a dark place. Kotkaniemi scores. Carolina rolls in and wins again. And then they post that. I mean, that is insult to injury. The definition of it, is it not?
Yeah, well, two different things. First, let's start with the Hurricane social media. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, them and Vegas, there's a few really good accounts. And listen, the Hurricanes have to do that. Like, they're still building their brand and their fan base. And it's funny, you know, when I interviewed Tom Dundon, their owner, last month about the whole Kotkaniemi offer sheet for a piece I wrote in The Athletic. And as an aside, I didn't actually put this in the story, but, you know, he talked about being stopped in the middle of a golf round where a fan came up to him and said, oh, I love that offer sheet. His point to me was, like, you know, it's not why we did it, but, man, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with us creating buzz. So you know that it comes from the owner down in terms of what that franchise has clearance for in terms of trying to create buzz for their franchise. I love all of it. I have no problem with it. I know some purists get their, you know, they get up in arms about all of it, but I love the way the Hurricanes have handled themselves really ever since he's become the owner. As it comes to the Habs, I mean, this is as brutal as it gets. And I will say, like, I've worked, you know, some of their games for our TSN feed, and, you know, I thought they really got outclassed by Buffalo and also by San Jose earlier this week. I will tell you, last night, they absolutely played. I mean, they ran into Freddie Anderson, your old pal there, AZ.
Oh, yeah.
There he is. But they played. So now the problem is you don't get bonus points for playing a good game and not getting anything. So they're 0-5, and a real 0-5. They're not like they've lost five games but got some loser points out of it. They are a true 0-5, and that's a massive hole in the league where everyone's picking up points every night. And now I think they're struggling to find their identity without Shea Weber and Carey Price and Phil Deneau. Price will be back at some point, but you can't discount what it means on and off the ice to start at least the opening month without him. And frankly, in a time like this, not being able to look at Shea Weber and saying, what do we do here, captain? I mean, one of the most impactful captains of the modern era in the NHL is gone. So I think they're really feeling that part of it, guys. And I know that we're all about numbers now and data, and I get it. I dig all that stuff too, but the intangible side of what's happening right now is real, I think, for that team. That there is a leadership vacuum going on, I think, in that dressing room. And they're not dealing with adversity as well as they might if those guys were there, in my mind. But, you know, having said all that, you know, I said this before the season started, Brian, that you asked me about that, and I thought they'd be hard-pressed to make the playoffs. So I was already sort of backing them up based on the fact that it's the young guys' turn this year. They really are transitioning this roster. They will be better. Not going to be like this all year, but I look at that Atlantic division and I just didn't see how it was going to happen for them with Carey Price, you know, being out at least for the opening month.
Now, I know Bergevin came out after game four and said, you know, I'm not actively looking for a trade, but do you get the sense that not even Bergevin looking to trade for help, but more of a shakeup or just a change of narrative? You know, Bergie's, I think, sometimes really good at drawing attention, trying away from his team. And I thought he did a good job of that on, you know, after game four type of thing. Have you heard any rumblings, or do you think that he at least is, you know, maybe had a few texts here or there with other managers to see what's out there to try and upgrade in certain areas?
I mean, Noodles, he's a guy that there's about a handful of GMs in the league that I will tell you that make a routine of checking in with teams more than other GMs. Like, some GMs only check in when they have a purpose. Other guys like to just talk all the time, and he's one of them. So he's constantly talking to teams. But I talked about this last night, insider trading. He does not see a trade as the fix right now. First of all, they've had plenty of roster moves over this offseason. It's not like they need more change. They really feel they got to, you know, dig into this from within. And listen, they're missing some, again, it's not just Price. Joel Edmondson was outside of Jeff Petrie, maybe their second best defenseman last year, at least defensively. And, you know, we wish him best as he's dealing with a personal situation at home. And, but he's a big missing part too, right? I mean, so I don't see, you know, a big trade coming for them. I really think they're going to have to figure this out from within. And I think the best thing for them is what's happening next week. They're going on a road trip, you know, and I think getting away from that market right now, and also spending time together as a team. It's not something that you could easily do last year because of the COVID protocols on the road, but now they can actually go on the road and go hang out and maybe have 1,000 beers in a restaurant. That might not be the worst thing for that group right now.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider, and we've obviously been focusing on the Canadian teams a lot today, and I think that's the nature of what we went through last year. Like, I've always been more connected to the Canadian teams, clearly, because they get more coverage and we're Canadian, but last year it was almost exclusive. And now that the borders are open and, you know, the schedule is back to normal, there's more focus on what is going on south of the border. And early in the year, the bad teams make more noise. We just talked about Montreal. We knew Winnipeg needed a win last night. They had been struggling. And Chicago is kind of representing the poster boy of destruction right now, I would say, down in the States. And they lost again last night. They don't have a win in regulation. They don't have 2 points. Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't look good. Seth Jones does not look good, making 9.5 that they paid a hefty price for. And you got Taves back, but it does not appear to be doing anything positively in terms of them getting back on the right track. And all the questions that are being asked in Montreal are being asked in Chicago. It's the same thing, right? And I don't see how it's going to get better before it gets worse.
Yeah, and there is a team, by the way, that is active on the phone, and in part because they've got extra parts. And you know, we reported this a couple weeks ago, but they've been shopping Dylan Strome. But, you know, they basically have 3 or 4 extra bodies on any given night, and they are willing to make a move here. So that could happen sooner rather than later when it comes to the Blackhawks. But they are an interesting team in that they kind of did their reset slash rebuild the last few years. But then turned around this summer and said, let's be a little more competitive. And they bring in Fleury and they'd make the huge deal for Seth Jones. And so I think the expectations definitely rose there. And they've looked really awful early on, but I actually think they will steady themselves myself. I just think that there's a lot of change there, and really bringing back Taves feels like a change, I bet, right? Given when you miss an entire year, and Noodles, you would know obviously way more than me, but I wonder what it's like for the captain to come back and immediately feel like he's a captain or not in that room.
Yeah.
Some of those guys never play with him. There's been so much roster turnover there.
Well, there's a lot of baby steps, and to me, it's, you know, it's chemistry, it's all of that type of stuff. There are new faces in there. I think all of us, maybe on paper, thought Chicago was, you know, bottom out kind of last year. It's going to take another step, maybe surprise people.
I thought they'd be better this year.
Bottom
out
is the wrong wording. You're right. It's still early. I think the Flower finds his game. I think Seth Jones is too good to not find his game, but it certainly doesn't look great. And that's a big challenge. And I actually, that's where I was going to go, Pierre. You posted an article on the Team Canada goaltending, and Hayes, we were talking about that the other day as to, you know, what is it going to look like in the absence of, you know, if Carey Price is going to be available, Marc-Andre Fleury having a season that's statistically not great, some new names. You know, maybe walk us through kind of your research and what your article was all about.
Well, this is kind of funny because I interviewed you for that piece today.
I know what it's all about. I'm putting it on a tee for us to discuss Team Canada goaltending, because I don't think it's as dire as everyone else does. But I, you know, there's certainly question marks way more than there was 3.5 weeks ago. Put it that way.
So I guess I'm a little more worried than you are, and I did put in a line in my column today that I, you know, listen, this Team Canada is so stacked everywhere else that if you're going to have to pick an area, this is the area that concerns me the most, because we really don't know anything about Carey Price right now in terms of what that's going to look like, right? And right now there's bigger things on the table for him than hockey. But he also can't have this conversation without bringing his name up, because the reality is when the playoffs ended, I know this for a fact, that Team Canada's brain trust for Beijing had him penciled in as the guy. How could they not after what they just saw in the playoffs? So now you don't. I mean, you don't until you see, you know, what it's going to look like when Carey Price returns. And then you turn to Fleury. And I thought your comment on Fleury was great today, Noodles. I mean, it has not looked good early on here, but the body of work and the person that you know, and remember, Roberto Luongo is one of the management guys for Team Canada. And his voice will be important big time here. And it was probably important in the 6 guys that they put on their long list, right? I mean, they are—they already cut some guys out here from the Olympic process, and I think that Fleury's a guy that, regardless of how the season goes with Chicago, that you're going to have enough trust in what he's been. I think that he's part of the mix, and then it really comes down for me to Darcy Kuemper, who's got a great opportunity in Colorado after winning gold at the World Championships last spring, and Jordan Binnington's bounce back potential with the Blues. The Carter Hart, you know, Carter Hart being on that list, I think was smart because of the ceiling, but he's got to really produce results in a hurry, right? Because he was abysmal last year. So he's behind. He's behind the race right now, him and Mackenzie Blackwood. They really got to get going over the next 2.5 months to, I think, assert themselves in what to me is about four guys, and one of those four guys we're waiting to see, you know, what he's going to be like when he comes back.
Yeah, I look at the defense corps as well for Canada, and they're going to have a lot of studs on there, but I don't know if it's going to feel as dominant as it has in the past. Where, right. Like, remember in 2010 when they went to Vancouver, you still had Pronger and Niedermayer. You had Duncan Keith, who was putting forth a season for the ages, really. He was going to win the Cup that year. He was going to win the Norris that year. And then obviously won a gold medal. You had Doughty, who was coming on. You had Shea Weber, who had established himself as a stud. It's going to be some turnover on the back end here, too.
Yeah,
right?
Legitimate rock stars.
For sure.
You know?
Like Hall of Fame rock stars. Like 1 through 6, it was like this team is absolutely loaded. Seabrook was the 7th defenseman, I believe, and didn't play at all. Maybe
and
the 8th.
Drew Doughty was really the big story. He was a 19-year-old.
And established himself at that tournament. By the end of it, was playing a regular shift. So I think you got to brace for that as well. Like, when I compare and contrast to the American team, if Hellebuck, who's not off to a great start himself, but I think will be stabilized and be fine, he's in net, their top six, I think, can match up with Canada's. You know, it may even exceed Canada's, which will be a rarity. I mean, that is not something I think we've said in the last couple of Olympic games where anyone could really question the 1 through 6 or the 1 through 12 up front. And there may be a few different areas where other teams might say, you know what, we can match that at a very least.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we could do 4 hours on this. I can't wait. Yeah. I'm supposed to go to Beijing, by the way, to cover the tournament. I can't wait for that either.
There you go.
I mean, first of all, when I start on the right side for Canada with Petrangelo and Cale Makar, I feel pretty good about that.
Yep.
To go back to your point about the blue line, you know, a pretty big loss for Team USA. It's funny, it hasn't really been talked about, even though it's right staring us in front of the face. Jack, there's no way at this point Jack Eichel's playing the Olympics.
Right.
Like, he needs surgery, and if he gets the surgery that he wants, the artificial disc replacement surgery, he's out minimum 4 months. So that's, I mean, listen, there's no shortage of talent for Team USA, and I think they're right there with Team Canada, but that's a big loss. Like, they had envisioned Matthews, Eichel down the middle as their 1-2. So, you know, that one hurts, but they got so much, I mean, they got so much talent for sure. And, you know, and that'll be the other big storyline over the next couple months, guys. Every time there's a significant injury to a major player, no matter what country he's from, this happens every time the NHL players are part of the Olympics. Remember Stamkos years ago?
Yeah.
You hold your breath because these players, the only reason any of this is happening is how badly the players push for this in the CBA extension. And, you know, you think about Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid and, you know, what this means in their lives and their careers, having missed out, you know, last time around. To me, I just want health for all the top stars because you want them to be in Beijing.
Well, I'm with you on that. I think we can speak for every country, every star player. It's going to be awesome. We still got a long way to go before we get there, but we're into, you know, mid to late October. They're going to be picking teams in the next couple of months here, and it'll be here before you know it. Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Right on around, guys. Have a great weekend.
There he is, Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.